Welcome to PWP Radio episode number 60. Your main host, Jay, has an emergency to deal with, and he won't be here today. Well, hopefully he should be here later by the end of the show, but this is Toph, the co-host, and I'll be taking over for today, for the time being. And we have a big episode today. We're going to be hyping up Pro Wrestling Syndicate's Wrestle Bowl, which is going to be on iPay-Per-View this Saturday, November 16th, located in New Jersey. It's a pretty stacked show and has a mixture of people from all over the place, from the past, the present, and the future. PWS is a promotion that I'm getting familiar with. Jay got me into it earlier this year, and from what I've seen so far, it's pretty cool, and we have a really packed show. We're going to have Big Van Vader, the man they call Vader, the Mastodon, and so many others. He'll be joining us. We also have an individual by the name of David Adams, who is a PWS announcer, and not only is he a good announcer, but he does play-by-play and does ring announcing at the same time. Last but certainly not least, we're also going to be joined by Hurricane Helms. I'm a big fan of his. He'll be joining us, and he's actually scheduled to fight Cassius Ohno, also known as Chris Hero, who was released from his NXT WWE contract just earlier last week. For the time being, I'm going to be bringing in one of my co-hosts. His name is Tech. You can follow him at Under the Mat Radio. He's a good friend of mine, and I'm going to bring him in now, and he's going to, you know, basically do some promotion for himself so people can get a better idea of what he's about. Hey, what's going on, Tech?
Hey, what's going on, Toph? How you doing?
I'm doing good. So why don't you tell the fans about the Under the Mat Radio and what kind of things you got going on?
Hello, fans of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. You are hearing from Tech. I'm host of Under the Mat Radio. We are based in Baltimore, Maryland. We've been doing radio since early in the summer. You can find us on Facebook. Go on Facebook and look up our fan page, which is called Under the Mat Radio. You will see the logo. You can also follow me, Tech, at Tech underscore UTM on Twitter. I have my co-host, which is named NSC Game Boy. You can follow him on Twitter with that name, NSC Game Boy. Our show has been going by great. We've worked with and had the likes of Jake the Snake Roberts, personal friends with Brian Blair from the Killer Bees, and had him just on the show, Pat Tanaka, Rob Feinstein, Joey Ryan, formerly from TNA, Fred Ottman, Shockmaster, just to name a few, Landy Poffo also. You can listen to us, our show, air live every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen to us on www.pwkgw.com. You can also listen to us on www.blogtalkradio.com/people-who-know-good-wrestling. So our show is different. We have 2 hours. We ask a lot of different questions. We do a lot of traveling. We have different works and negotiations with Maryland Championship Wrestling. We do work with Adrenaline Championship Wrestling. So we just pretty much go all around and give back to the fans a different look and a different feel of wrestling, especially here in the Maryland area.
All right, man. Thanks for all the promotions. Before I bring in this caller, I'm going to play a theme song in the memory of a certain wrestler that nobody gives a shit about. I hate it when a jobber gets a really cool theme. Curtis, man, I love you. I love your dad, Mr. Perfect. I even met him a few times at WCW. But Curtis, man, you just don't have it, dude. Great in-ring work, though. Great in-ring work, but, man, that charisma. Oh, boy. Sorry, I do that. We have a lot of sound bites here, and Jay never uses them, and so I'm going to take full advantage of using every sound bite I see that matches whatever. You know what? I'd even play my own sound bite. Let's play it for, like, 5 seconds. Yes, that was the Lex Luger theme, my theme. Lex Luger was the total package. Curtis Axel, you're not. On that note, let's bring in 347. I believe this is John. Hey, what's going on? Hey, do you have an established theme or no?
No, surprise me.
Surprise you?
Yep.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, let's try this again. I'm going to give you a cool theme. All right, introducing from New York, here's John. Yes, I gave
like
you
that.
A mystery theme because
like
unlike
that.
Chris Axel, you have more charisma.
Yes, already.
Nice.
Yes. What's going on, John? How you doing today?
Good, man. It's been a while. You know, just been busy working, the little guy, so I'm good. How's everything?
Hey, everything's good. Just got a big show tonight, and we're supposed to be doing some promotion for Pro Wrestling Syndicate. So far, I don't have any call-ins, but what I will do is I'll go ahead and promote the show. They have a pay-per-view, or an iPay-per-view, I'm sorry, this Saturday, November 16th. It's going to be called Wrestle Bowl. You can find more information at ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. It's going to be located in the Center Circle Soccer Dome in New Jersey. I don't know precisely how to pronounce the name of the city. That's something Tech and I were talking about beforehand. But you can get more information at 1-800-838-3006. And I looked at the card, and it's very unique. It's very interesting. You got Just Incredible, an established ECW legend fighting Vader. There's also going to be a match between Chris Hero and Hurricane Helms. It's going to be cool. The Untouchables are going to be fighting the BWO. So it's going to be a pretty cool call. Oh, and we got a caller from 720. I believe this is the man they call Vader. I'm getting ready. I'm so hyped. I'm so excited, guys. I'm like 5 years old again. Let's see. Let's see. Is it going to be Vader? Of course it's Vader. Hey, Vader or Mr. Vader, welcome to show.
Thank you.
Wow. I'm like frozen with just the epicness talking to Vader. Mr. Vader, can I call you Mr. Vader?
Sure, you can call me whatever you want. Who am I talking to?
Okay, I'm going
to
call you Mr. Vader. I still have you on VHS when you were on Boy Meets World. That was awesome. Okay, let's get to topic here. All right, so Mr. Vader, you've worked for PWS before, correct?
Yes, I have.
What is it about PWS?
One more time. Who am I talking to?
Oh, you're talking to Toph. I'm Toph. I'm taking over for Jay tonight.
You're Toph. Okay. How you doing, Toph?
I'm doing fine, Mr. Vader. What is it about PWS?
All right, brother.
On PWS, what is it about Pro Wrestling Syndicate that stands out from other promotions?
Well, Eric, he runs a quality show. He gets top talent. He's been doing it a while. He understands the wrestling business, and it shows, the end result shows. It's a simple...
Okay.
It's an accumulation of the little things.
Okay, there are some other questions I have that I wanted to ask for you. Last year you came back on Raw, and you worked a match with Heath Slater. It was pretty good. The fans were popping pretty hard. How did that feel, as a wrestling established legend, like when you come back? You know, is there always that fear of fans not reacting? But the fans reacted pretty well. I mean, how did that feel when the fans were, you know, popping hard in your match against Heath Slater?
You know what? There is that trepidation. You always wonder how the fans remember you. And you know what? They came alive. It was a great feeling. It was a lot of fun. I thank Mr. McMahon and Triple H for the opportunity. And it was great to see everyone. Great opportunity. It was a ball. It was the highlight of, I guess you'd call it my second career, you know. Or third or fourth or whatever you want to do.
Do you have a preferred favorite match in your career? I mean, you've wrestled all over the world, so it's probably hard to pick one. What would you say is your favorite match?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's been 30 years. I've literally worked around the world. I have world titles in every continent I've worked in. So, you know, and of course in Japan, you could pick 10, you know, huge names and, you know, great talents, Inoki and Fujinami and Toshu and Mizawa and Kobashi and Nakayama. I mean, it's just, the list just continues. And, you know, there's a great percentage of Japanese wrestlers that I wrestled for years and years and years over in Japan that, you know, are as good as anybody in the world, period. You know, our Hall of Fame caliber, they just didn't have the physical stature. The WWE recognized, of course, Antonio Inoki here recently in the Hall of Fame, but there is a lot of names of that caliber and of that talent, Muta and Shono, and I mean the list goes on and on. So for me to go over there and wrestle, you know, outweighing everyone pretty much close to 200 pounds, these guys were in the, you know, the 220, 230 range, and those were the big guys, and you know, it was challenging athletically, but you know, the fact that I could do it and do it night in and night out, and yeah, I wrestled with Noah, All Japan, New Japan, and a company that had a great deal of success for a short period of time, UWFI International, and they put on shoot matches, I won that world title as well. And there was some interesting talent in that company. Talk about 2-time gold medalists, Victor Hashimikov, and these karate champions, mixed martial arts champions, submission champions, amateur wrestlers. You had to come prepared, because I'll tell you what, they would challenge you. There was nothing called, but then, you know, basically if you survived to the finish, you would go from there. But it's been a long career now. You know, this is my 30th year, and I look forward to wrestling the 16th for PWS.
Sweet, sweet. I just want you to know, Mr. Vader, that the very first wrestling tape I ever saw, my father got a VHS of WCW Starrcade 1993, and that was when you fought Ric Flair. It was the title for his career at the time. If you had defeated Ric Flair, he would have retired, and Harley Race was in your corner, and you were like a monster. And I just watched that VHS tape, and I was just totally hooked. So thanks to you, I became a wrestling fan, and I just wanted you to know that wrestling fans have...
Wow, that's quite a compliment.
...work for you.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. I appreciate that. That's quite a compliment. That was the first and only time a 400-pounder ever received Wrestler of the Year. So that was one of my best years, having earned that award. And then I think I won and lost the WCW title 3 times that year. I lost it for 6 days, and yeah. So
yeah, that's how it is sometimes.
That was a good year for me.
John, are you still there, John?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, do you have any questions for Vader?
Yeah, how you doing? My name is John. Big fan. You know, from even the early WCW run back in like 91, which a lot of people seem to forget. So, you know, with the big mask and everything, that was cool back at the time as a kid, seeing that mask, man. That was awesome. So you're going up against Just Incredible Saturday. Is this the first time you guys are working together, or have you guys worked, you know, anywhere else before?
You know, I think we have worked. I wouldn't swear to it, but I think we have worked before.
Hey,
you know what? He's a great talent, big name, and I look forward to it. So, you know, it's going to be a great show.
Nice, nice. Yeah, you know, can't wait to see that. You know, love the occasional appearances on Raw, and, you know, in a time when I was a teenager, and when everyone liked baby faces, I thought you were just awesome as a heel in WCW, man. Just got to tell you that.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I really do. Like I said, it's been a long time now, and started off in the AWA and went over to Europe and Mexico and over to Japan and back to America and then back to Japan ended up. So, someone told me they got on a website, but something like 25 world titles to date, and that's singles and tag and United States titles and Intercontinental titles. And I told him I had no idea, but that's, I did another radio show for a London show I'm doing here upcoming in December, and the announcer had gave me that information. I was surprised. I had no idea.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like, especially in WCW, like, I don't remember too much of a time where you either didn't have a belt or you weren't, you know, right there feuding for a belt. So, yeah, that's 25. That's an awesome number, man.
that's quite a few. I really had no idea. I mean, I had I had never kept track, but I was surprised to hear it. But you read them all off. He had them all listed, and that was all of them. And that, you know, there were more, but there were, you know, there were federations that you really couldn't count. There was something like 30 total, but 31, but it was, you know, this federation you couldn't count it, and another federation couldn't count it. But of the ones you could count, it was like 25. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
One, you know.
Hey, guys, are you going to be there? Hello?
Toph?
Are you guys going to be there the 16th?
I won't be, unfortunately.
I believe Jay was going to be there. The owner of CVP was going to be there this 16th. Aren't you guys going to be there, right, John?
No, I won't be, actually. I won't be able to make this show.
Well, you're
going to
miss it, man. But, hey, everyone else out there in Jersey, make sure you come. It's going to be live and in color. It's Vader time. 6'4" and 435 pounds.
All right, Mr. Vader,
I have
a question.
Excuse me?
I said, Mr. Vader, if
that
you can just hold on.
That was me
one
signing
one.
Off. That was me signing off. Did you get that?
You're signing off?
No. Yep.
Aw.
Thank you for,
that
thank
was
you
me
for your
signing
time,
off.
Sir.
Buddy, I got an early flight in the morning, and I appreciate the time very much, and I'm grateful. You guys keep doing your thing. You do a good job. I appreciate the opportunity. I really do.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much.
No problem. Have a good one. Good. Best of luck on the 16th.
You too. Thank you very much. All right, bro. Bye-bye.
Take care.
All right, and that was Mr. Vader. Thank you for calling in. My bad, Tech. I'll make sure that you get the next one. Oops. There we go. Still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm still here. I understand it.
Yeah, my bad. I'll make sure you have a question for Hurricane Helms when he calls in. All right, now we have a 732 area code caller in. All right. 732, welcome to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. How are you doing tonight?
Toph, it's Jay, man. I'm on the Garden State Parkway. I'm heading my ass home. Good job botching that finish with Vader. I appreciate that.
No problem. You know, I had to do a botchmania segment for you.
Yeah, that's what it was, man. It was complete botchmania. But, no, you guys did a good job. I listened to pretty much the majority of that. And, you know what? I'm just putting my ass on hold. I'm just on the road and heading back home to the Jersey Shore. And looking forward, I will be at PWS this coming Saturday. We'll be there live. We'll have the camera in tight with us, and we will be filming a lot of interviews and videos with any talent that wants to talk with us. Yes, we're going to try to talk to Chris Hero. Will he say yes? Probably not, because he has had a bad attitude with me in the past. So we will do our best to talk to him, Hurricane Helms Vader, and a bunch more. But I put my ass on hold, and when I get home, I will call back and take over my show. But you guys are doing a great job. Thanks, guys.
All right, later, Jay. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. All right.
All right, so we got area code 973. 973, welcome to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right. Who am I speaking to right now?
You're speaking to Toph.
Yo, Toph, what's going on? This is David Adams from PWS. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Now, I've heard great things about you. Jay informed me about everything. Now, to those who don't know, actually, I don't want to. Should I introduce you, or should you introduce yourself? You know what? No, I'm the host.
No, it's your show, Toph. You do the introductions, brother.
All right. So Mr. David Adams is the ring announcer for PWS, and what's cool about him is that he does announcing and play-by-play. That's unheard of. That sounds very difficult. How do you do that?
I just want to make myself stand out, and I like to be very, very energetic and always doing something during a show. If I'm not doing something, then I feel like I'm not doing my job properly. So, yeah, I guess I was told I have a knack for, you know, the commentary too, and if that's what helps me stand out from every other announcer out there, then I'm proud to be part of PWS doing both announcing and commentary.
Okay, now, Mr. Adams, can you please tell us, in your opinion, what is PWS? What makes it different from the other promotions out there?
PWS It's an independent promotion that believes in something called storylines. They keep the fans coming back. Like, you'll go to some independent shows, and, you know, there'll be some brand name talent on there, but it's just, all right, this talent versus this local guy, or this talent teamed up with this local guy against this local team. And, you know, the matches might be entertaining, but in my opinion, it's like, you know, then after the match is over, there's nothing to build on. Like, the fans don't have anything to look forward to, you know, with the, you know, the drama going on, the storyline going on. Here at PWS, whether it's the core roster, the guys that have been bumped up from the school to the core roster, you got the legends coming in. There's always something going on to build from the last show. And I think, you know, and we have season ticket holders, and they buy those up. They don't just want to show up for one show. They want to show up the whole season long, as we like to call it, not just a year, the season of PWS, as we're rounding out the 2013 season. And, yeah, I mean, we have our own characters to complement the names that we have in and whatnot. And I think the fans all really appreciate that. They bring signs, you know, they have all the merchandise from all the wrestlers. And it just, that's the other thing. Our fans, that's like the core of PWS right there. We want the fans to be part of the show. We're very fan-friendly. You know, some shows you'll go to, the guys, they get in the ring, they do their, you know, match, you know, 10, 15 minutes later, they're back in the locker room. Here, intermission, you'll see the wrestlers around. And they just want the fans to be part of the event as well. And that's what it is. It's an event. It's not just a show. When you go to PWS, you know that you're in for not just one-on-one matches or tag team matches. You're going to see something different every time. And I think WrestleBowl sums that up. This is one of the most stacked cards I've ever seen for PWS in the whole time I've worked there. I mean, they've got 11 matches on the card, and each one has its own own different personality.
I agree there. I was just going through the card before the show started. It looks amazing. It just looks like, it reminds me of the Back to the Future movie, where it's like there's the past, the present, and the future all gelled into one. It looks like there's something for everybody in PWS. All right, now, Tech, are you still with me?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right, Tech, I messed up on the last interview, so do you have a question for Mr. David Adams?
Hello, David Adams. How you doing? This is Tech from Under the Mat Radio in Baltimore.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. I just want to ask you, since you do double duty, since you're not only a ring announcer, and you also do play-by-play commentary, who are your idols growing up in the world of wrestling? Who did you tend to idolize as being a commentator and a ring announcer?
I'll tell you, I mean, as a little kid of growing up, I mean, the man that I always wanted to be as loud as was The Fink. I mean, I remember in the apartment where I was raised, I'd be standing in front of the TV watching Superstars, and I'd just be screaming in front of the TV trying to be as loud as him, just trying to announce the wrestlers like that. And, I always just wanted to be the ring announcer. The play-by-play thing, I mean, it's funny. I mean, that really, I started doing play-by-play just as an accident. I showed up to a wrestling show, like my second show ever, I showed up and they felt bad because they had already had another ring announcer there, and I traveled like 125 miles or something like that to get to the show. And I was like, oh, no problem. I mean, it's like literally like my, you know, second week in the business. So I was like, I'll just sit and learn and whatever. And like the one guy's like, hey, you wanted to learn how to do a commentary? And the next thing you know, that night, I didn't do any ring announcing, but I did like 8 in-ring interviews, and I did I did color commentary with the one guy. And I don't know if I did a good job, but I did a good enough job that every other promotion from there on out was like, hey, you should do commentary with us. So I guess it's just like an acquired thing there. And I mean, I always admired like ECW style, like Mr. Joey Styles. I mean, he was always, you know, trying to be the man right there. He was doing announcing, he was doing commentary, he was loud, he was crisp, he was entertaining, had energy. And yeah, I mean, and then I just try, you know, I don't want to be like one of those guys, but I take, you know, the attributes that those guys had offered the crowd, and I just wanted to, you know, blend them all together and give the crowd, you know, an original David Adams, have you? And, yeah, I mean, every show I do for PWS, I just try and, you know, I look at what I did at the last show, and I see what can I do to be a better announcer at the next show that I'm announcing. Simple as that.
Okay. Thank you.
What's that, sir?
Hey, John, do you have any questions for Mr. David Adams?
Actually, I was going to ask, like, who the the main influences were, but he just nailed them right there with the Fing and Joey Styles.
Yeah, I mean, and I try and bring the energy of like a, of like, you know, I try and bring the energy of like that big game atmosphere, you know, to every match possible. You know, I want to keep the, you know, it's my job. I'm not the stage. The wrestlers are the stage, but I'm the guy that sets the stage for that match. And it's kind of like the reset, you know, in between matches, you know, hype up something between matches and then get their mindset for the next match. So it's like I just try and do my job there in the ring, get out of the ring as soon as possible, let those guys do what they do. And, yeah, I mean, I find myself, you know, walking real fast back to that commentary table because, as you said, yeah, I'm doing both of them. So my mind – and it's good because my mind is constantly focused on the show that way. Sometimes if you're just doing ring announcing, you're watching the event. If you're doing the ring announcing and also doing commentary, I mean, I'm into that show the whole time, picking up every little detail, trying to, you know, use my description so the people watching at home on my pay-per-view, you know, can, you know, really feel like they're there too. And I found the ultimate compliment that I found was that the fans had come up to me and they let me know, they're like, just wanted to let you know, our family looks for where the commentary table is so we can grab seats closest to where you're at because we enjoy hearing your commentary while we're watching the event live. When I heard the fans tell me that, I was like, oh, that's what's up. That's the ultimate compliment that I actually am adding to their entertainment for that night. And that's awesome. And if the fans are happy, then, I mean, without the fans, we don't exist, basically.
Okay, I have one question for you, Mr. David Adams. There's a lot of fans out there that are not familiar with the iPay-per-view concept. If it's okay, could you please explain to the fans out there how iPay-per-views work?
Absolutely. All you need is a computer, and with our Pro Wrestling Syndicate, we at Pro Wrestling Syndicate are doing our own iPay-per-views now. We've partnered with Valenti Vision, and basically we have iPay-per-view that you can go to ProWrestlingSyndicate.com, $15. They accept PayPal, so everything's safe and secure. Once you pay through PayPal, Pro Wrestling Syndicate will send you a link to the event to watch that night on your computer in HD. I've seen the product that the fans are getting, and I mean, it's as good as anything I've seen out there, and it's amazing. Valenti Vision is unbelievable. Partnering with Pro Wrestling Syndicate, that's just a recipe for success.
Okay, cool. I've tried iPay-per-view once before about a year ago, and it worked pretty well for me. I think the concept is pretty interesting, and I think it's different. And it's gonna take fans that are not used to it a while to get to adapt to it, but I definitely think that it's a good way
absolutely.
To watch wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the show's located at the Center Circle Soccer Dome in Rahway, New Jersey. So, I mean, obviously not everybody can make it out to New Jersey. So this way, I mean, fans from all over the world have an opportunity for $15, which is less than, you know, the major, you know, televised companies have you. I mean, they're charging, you know, $50 and up for pay-per-views in some cases. Here it's $15. And even when you come to a live event, you can get tickets live starting as low as $20. So, I mean, we try and keep it as affordable as possible. And the autographs and the meet and greets, I think the prices for those when you come to the shows live are the best of value around compared to if you go to, like, you know, autograph signings elsewhere and such like that.
All right. You pretty much answered all the questions that we have. Thank you for joining us, Mr. David Adams. Would it be great if we could have you again on another show?
Absolutely. Do you have another caller, or do I have a moment to go over the card for Saturday's epic event? You have like
I
got the whole
hasn't
card
called
here.
In yet. Feel free to go over the card.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if Hurricane calls in, I'm out of here. But if you have a couple minutes, I mean, you've got some great singles matches. I mean, you have third-generation Samoan star Lance Anawai taking on the Prince of Aesthetics, Damian Gibbs. Gibbs came out of the school, and he's been one of the big rising stars on the scene. And Lance, I mean, he comes from a great wrestling heritage. I mean, his father is Samu, his head shrink was Samu. His grandfather is Off of the Wild Samoan, cousins of The Rock, Roman Reigns, the Usos, the list goes on. So, I mean, that should be a really good one-on-one matchup. I mean, and check out this match. You got the Revolting Blob, who's been just a fan favorite since he came to PWS. And yes, that's the same revolting blog from Billy Madison. You got Cobra going against Cobra Commander, the arch nemesis of the G.I. Joe squadron. I mean, this is going to be one heck of a match right there. The fans are going to get a lot of entertainment in those two matches alone. And then you're going to get to see the tag team division that PWS has been forming. You got the former PWS tag team champions Black Hollywood, Ruthless Ray Smith, and Black Star Sean Edwards. They're taking on the Suburban Outfitters, made up of high-class Hash Brown and first-class Chris Dixon. Then you have the Powers of Destruction, which is the Big O and Dave Destruction. And then you also have Team 24-7, which is Michael Shonuff Starks and Eddie Shogun Criollo. You got a lot of young talent there that a lot of people may not have heard of, but if you watch it on live pay-per-view at ProWrestlingSyndicate.com or you come to the show live, you're going to see some young talent that's hungry to make a mark in a company the stature of PWS. And one that I know I'm looking forward to, first-time encounter ever, you got the Boricua Beast Dan Moss, known all over the globe, taking on probably one of the most popular superstars at PWS, the man they call Starman. Starman's a former two-time Tri-State champion. The Tri-State Championship, of course, is now the Suicidal Six-Way Championship. These two gentlemen, you got size and strength, you got speed and agility. Starman, equally as unpredictable as Mr. Moss. I think that's going to be a real entertaining matchup there that the fans are going to get a lot of enjoyment out of. We also have an international challenge. We've partnered with New Japan Pro Wrestling. We have a one-year contract here with one of their rising stars, Takaki Watanabe. He's taking on the Croatian sensation, Mario Bokara. Both of these guys undefeated in PWS, so something's got to give. So that should be real interesting. Croatia taking on Tokyo, Japan. I think the fans are going to enjoy that a lot. You got a multi-man battle. You got the Blue World Order. You got Big Stevie Cool. You've got the Blue Guy. And, oh, my God, and you've got Hollywood Nova coming to PWS to take on the young upstart team of the Untouchables made up of Mr. Payne, Mr. Bowens, Mr. Gamble, and Mr. Wayward. All of those gentlemen came out of the PWS school, trained directly by Pat and everybody over there. You got Kevin Matthews and Pat and everybody. They've trained these guys, and this multi-man team battle should be real interesting. I mean, you've also got the gentleman who called in just before me, of course, Big Van Vader himself, taking on ECW original Justin Credible. What a special attraction matchup that's going to be. Mr. Justin Credible fell just a little bit short to Bonesaw for the PWS Championship at the last show Retaliation. But honestly, I think he's going to be back. He's going to want a little bit of a redemption, and if he can get a big win over Big Van Vader, that would be a huge victory for him, to say the least. And this one right here, the rebirth of Chris Hero. That's right. Heroes clash for the very first time, and that's right. The rebirth of Chris Hero. PWS is the first company to have him back under the name Chris Hero, taking on the Hurricane Shane Helms. That match alone, that was just signed like days ago, and if you couldn't make it out before that match, if there's not another reason to come out, that match alone, I think it's just, you know, I don't even have words for it. It's Hurricane Shane Helms and Chris Hero, superheroes collide. And then you got the Suicidal Six-Way Championship. This is one of the craziest championships, one of the craziest divisions in all of PWS. It's the hardest title to hold on to. The reigning champion, the Zombie Slayer, Metal God Craven Varro, has been a fighting champion. He doesn't need to get pinned or submitted to lose this belt. He's taken on five hungry challengers, the Drunken Swashbuckler, the Neon Ninja Facade, the Man of Faith, Brian Excel, you got the Lifeguard, and you got the newcomer, Matt McIntosh. If you haven't heard of some of these guys, you got to check it out. The Suicidal Six-Way, it's high-flying. It's energetic from opening bell to end bell. It's going to blow your mind if you've never seen a Suicidal Six-Way match. And then you've got the main event. You've got the six-man tag team lumberjack match. all the PWS stars not involved in this match are going to be around the ring, and you've got the PWS champion, Bonesaw. He's undefeated. He's teaming up with Reality Check, Kevin Matthews, and Devin Moore. They're taking on the Reynolds brothers, Alex and Kyle, along with their hired heavy, it would appear, Arkham. Arkham TV, iPay-per-view, does this man no justice. He is absolutely a behemoth, a gladiator. We don't know much about Arkham or his true relationship with the Reynolds brothers, but he has certainly cost Kevin Matthews a couple of matches over the past few months, and I'm sure that Reality Check and Bonesaw are looking to go to war against these guys. That should be insane. And speaking of insane, we got not one but two special guest commissioners, the Insane Clown Posse. These guys, who knows what kind of insanity is going to ensue when the Insane Clown Posse comes to PWS at the Center Circle Soccer Dome in Rahway, New Jersey, Saturday night, this Saturday night, November the 16th. Remember, it's ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. You can buy tickets. You can order it for only $15 on iPay-per-view. Valenti Vision Films, it's HD, crystal clear quality. PWS taking the reins by doing their own pay-per-views, and I think they're doing it as good as anybody else. And if you can't make it here, you're just missing out on truly a unique, unique, awesome independent promotion that's on the rise. And that's what I got, guys. I thank you for your time, and I hope anybody who's listening, make sure, oh, by the way, 35 minutes from New York City Penn Station, it's $8.75 each way for train tickets, and the train station is literally within a half mile of the venue, so easy access to the train, New York, the Philadelphia area, come from all over, come have a good time, affordable for the whole family. That's ProWrestlingSyndicate.com.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Adams. You pretty much summed up everything perfectly. I feel like I just watched half the show because you just summed it up so well. Yeah,
can I throw a PS in there?
Mm-hmm.
I apologize. I got a PS. I only announced 10 matches. The 11th match, a 15-man over-the-top rope battle royal, but the winner of the battle royal will receive a PWS championship match against Bonesaw December the 14th in Avenel, New Jersey. So there you go, a 15-man over-the-top rope battle royal with a PWS championship match on the line. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that on the independent scene, gentlemen.
It doesn't. It definitely doesn't. We would love to have you on a future episode, Mr. Adams.
I would be honored. Thank you very much to Mr. Eric Tapow for setting up me being on your show tonight. Pat Buck, the whole PWS crew, I've been with them over like a year now, and it's been a dream, and I couldn't be happier living out what I wanted to do my whole life, being the announcer. So thank you very much, guys, and hopefully I'll be on again whenever you want. Hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/DavidAdams.ringannouncer. Follow me on Twitter at Voice of the Ring. Many ways to get in touch with me, okay?
We will do that. Thank you. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a nice evening, guys.
You too.
Bye.
Okay, man, that's very, very, very energetic. I mean, it doesn't sound like it's hard, but it really is to do play-by-play and do ring announcing at the same time. That takes a lot of energy, and that's definitely very Joey Styles-ish, you know, how he kind of, you know, called all those ECW shows by himself. Very difficult. What do you think about that, John?
Yeah, Styles was really the last guy to be able to do it on his own and do it well. So the fact that, you know, he's able to, you know, David's able to do it with no problem, you know, is really, it's a lost art. It really is.
Mm. What about you, Tech? What do you think about that?
It is a lost art. So I agree with David said, man. He did a great job, and you know, he was very energetic. He wasn't boring at all. So David did a great job for us, putting everybody over, very enthusiastic about the show. So, like you said, since Styles did it, you really don't see that much in wrestling. Either you just a ring announcer, or you just play by play. You know, anytime somebody makes something like that seem easy, then they'll let you know they're doing their job right.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. Most definitely. So our third guest, Gregory Helms, also known as the Hurricane Helms, has yet to call in. What I'm going to do right now is I'm basically just going to do a little short recap on who he is. I'm sure many listeners are already familiar with the work of Mr. He got his first big break, WCW World Championship Wrestling, mostly known for three count, which even though it was kind of a comic relief, three of them were pretty good, and hey, their dance routine was pretty great. He was a great cruiserweight champion, and he was one of the few guys of WCW was purchased by WWF. He, you know, went over to WWF, and then later they became WWE, and he became the Hurricane. And there's a lot of stuff. He goes into great detail about this at the Stone Cold Austin podcast show. There's a whole episode where Stone Cold is talking to Hurricane Helms, and he explains everything that went through and how the Hurricane name came to be. But, you know, most people remember him for his hilarious backstage segments with The Rock and tag-teaming with Rosie. I was always a fan of Hurricane Helms. I always thought he was a good in-ring worker. And I thought he was misused a little bit in the ECW brand. He was still in good condition. I think he could have been used a little bit better. I remember he had a few good matches with Paul Burchill, but it didn't really go anywhere. But I'm a big fan of Hurricane Helms, and his opponent is going to be Chris Hero, who many independent wrestling fans know as Cassius Ohno, who had a NXT developmental contract, and for whatever reason, we don't know, he was released. And he has a Facebook account, and he did a really nice post the other day where he was thanking his fans, and, you know, he was basically like, you know, it's not the end. He's going to go back and continue doing what he loves doing. So it doesn't definitely seem like it's a bag of shapes. He's in great shape. I'm sure he'll do fine, and we'll definitely be seeing him again in some capacity. What do you guys think about Chris Hero while we're waiting for Mr. Helms to call in? Let's start with you, John. Do you have an opinion of Chris Hero? Have you seen his work? What do you think about him?
Yeah, I mean, the in-ring work is never in doubt. You know, whether or not you want to believe some of the reports that came out late spring, early summer about the conditioning, the attitude, that's neither here nor there. What he has done, the most important thing he has done, is he has not gone out and gone on a tirade. And, you know, there are people that will think that this is, you know, a little crazy for me to say, but sometimes they do this to test you. I'm not saying they release them to test you, but they, you know, when they let you go and maybe they're on the fence with you, they want to see how you react. And when guys, the first thing they do is announce a shoot interview or go on a Twitter rant, those are the guys that never come back. But when you have a guy who releases the state kind of statement like he did, you know, not blaming anybody, not, you know, saying he was screwed over or anything like that, he'll be back. He'll be back. He's got some supporters in that company, William Regal, you know, his relationship with Cesaro. Now that Cesaro got the big endorsement from Cena over in Germany the other night, you know, he's not done for. He'll go to the he'll do indies, and you know what, I don't think we've seen the last of him.
Yeah, I agree there. We haven't seen the last of him. He'll be back. Tech, what do you think about Chris Hero? Are you familiar with his work? What do you feel?
Well, Cassius Ohno, Chris Hero, like David said, great in-ring work. I'm not sure if I believe all of the reports. It seemed like everybody was so high on him, and then out the blue, he got let go. So, like I said, I enjoyed his in-ring work. I was really looking forward to him coming to the WWE, to the main roster, but he's not. So, it's just now he's more free to do, you know, to go to different promotions. And I know that, you know, Pro Wrestling Syndicate grabbed him up. I know he's going to be, I believe, doing some work with Rob Feinstein, coming up with friends with him. And you know, he's getting grabbed up by everywhere. And a good point that the guy that's made just now, I think it was David, is that he didn't go off, you know, fussing. He didn't go off on no tirade. He didn't go off burying anybody. And he still kept himself very professional, so.
Yeah, he's got a busy weekend. He's doing PWS Saturday. He's doing Dragon Gate USA on Sunday in Brooklyn. He's got a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla date in December against Adam Cole. So he's doing okay. I would not be surprised if he shows up at Ring of Honor Final Battle. He did that 2 years ago when his physical was getting delayed. He'll be fine. He'll be back. You know, I can't see him just being one of these guys that doesn't circle circle back at some point. We'll see. You know, I'll tell you. Although I don't think they would do it, but I wouldn't. If I was TNA, I'd grab them. But I just don't think.
Oh yeah, most definitely. You know, even if Mr. Hero could make more money in the Indies, TNA should still be doing everything they can.
He's a hot name right now. I would grab him, but you know, it's TNA, and you know, Hero wasn't in the WWF in the late 90s or early 2000s, so you know, Dixie and the boys over there will pass on him.
Yeah, from what I understand, I'm not exactly sure how the story goes, but I think someone had put in a good word for Aries. I think it was Joe or someone, I'm not sure. Someone called Aries and convinced him to give wrestling a second go, because from what I gather, he was very close to retiring. So, but yeah, you know,
yeah,
he almost
quit, actually, real quick. He actually was ready to quit after he didn't get picked for Tough Enough. And what was ironic about that is that you're Austin Aries. You don't need to go on Tough Enough. You're beyond that.
Yeah. You know,
since we were
talking about Chris Hero, one thing that I've been trying to stay away from, and I've been doing it moderately well, I think, for the past 5 to 6 months, doing pretty good, is I'm tending to stay away from dirt sheets. You know, dirt sheets can definitely skew your perception, but, you know, every now and then, you know, you log on Facebook and, you know, there's that page that you may, you know, have liked, and, you know, they'll post something and you can't help but see it. I remember about 2 weeks ago, a wrestling page that I'm subscribed to on Facebook had posted something about how WWE is not interested in signing or keeping any more indie talent because they believe they have an oversaturation of that and they fulfill the quota. And so they're looking for more larger-than-life individuals, which may make sense if they released Chris Hero, but again, it's just dirt sheets. You don't want to believe everything, you know. Speaking of dirt sheets, this is totally unrelated. Again, I'm just killing time until Mr. Helm shows up. I don't watch this, but I don't watch Total Divas like that, but this was like the biggest red flag I've ever seen in my life. We all know that professional wrestling is, you know, predetermined, scripted, but of course the action in the ring is real. But I saw the fakest scripted segment I've ever seen in Total Divas. If you guys saw the episode on Sunday, you know what I'm talking about. Very first 5 minutes into the show, you see Eva Marie. She's talking to the Bellas, and I'm not making this up. She is literally reading a dirt sheet rumor to the Bellas 5 minutes into the episode, talking about dirt sheets say she's going to team up with John Cena. Oh, my God, man, this is so fake. You know this is scripted because I'm a huge wrestling fan. We're all huge wrestling fans. And as I've said earlier in the show, I'm a big fan of the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast show. And there was one episode where he talks to Jerry Lawler. It got separated into two parts. And on one part, Jerry Lawler and Stone Cold go off topic, and they talk about the origin of dirt sheets. Because, you know, nowadays it's easy to be a dirt sheet person because of YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. But, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, before the Internet, you know, there was someone leaking. And, you know, Jerry Lawler and Stone Cold went into great detail about how nobody knew where the dirt sheets were coming from. They didn't know who was leaking the information, but they both were very clear that if you were caught reading dirt sheets, fired on the spot. They were very, very strict about dirt sheets. That is a rule that Jerry implied in the interview that still goes. But to see Eva Marie read dirt sheets in front of the Bellas, oh, man, that's so scripted. I just couldn't help but laugh, but maybe I just laughed too hard. Anybody else find that funny?
You know, bro, I have not watched Total Divas just yet, the second episode. I didn't know about talking to you off the air, so you mentioned to me, and I had a couple of fans hit me up that told me about that same segment and how so scripted and contrived it was, and I don't know, I guess people enjoy it, but I'm just not a big fan of it at all. I'm not sure how the other guy feels, but
I've never seen a single episode of it.
Oh, finally, some men with common sense here. Jeez. Yeah.
Well. Now I will say this, and I cut you off, because of my fans, the fans of the show asked me I did watch the first two episodes of season one, and that was torture. My TV so violated that it was on the actual EU network.
Wow.
Since then, I've not watched. I did it for the fans, so after that second episode, I told them, I'm not watching this no more. So I have the other fans and their personal friends that do watch it, and they'll update me, and that's where I'll keep it. But I will not be turning my TV on to that at all.
Yeah, I've never watched a single minute of it. I will, getting into the dirt sheet thing, and I'm no defender of any of these guys. I think, Dave Meltzer, Justin Labar, Josh Heisenberg, Brian Alvarez, guys like that. There's definitely a certain level of bullshit. But then you also get the rare occurrence where, we've seen it happen, is that someone gets their hands on something legit, okay? You know, Axel's going to drop the IC title to, R-Truth, at Survivor Series. I'm just throwing it out there. And that could be the original plan. What happens now, and the only thing that I will say that people have to keep in mind is if they get wind that that's out there, there's nothing that says they can't turn around Monday afternoon and change a script. So now that thing that got reported on Thursday, which Thursday afternoon when it got reported very well may have been 100% true, now looks like pure bullshit at 11 o'clock Monday night.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely in agreement there. We've talked about it before on previous episodes. I just hate the freedom of dirt sheets because, it's one thing to do a prediction. Like, for instance, say, take Survivor Series, take Big Show versus Randy Orton. Say you predict Big Show to win and Big Show doesn't win. Then you as a fan, it can be like, well, I'm wrong. I was wrong this time. Better luck next pay-per-view. But when it comes to dirt sheet rumors, what I hate about it is dirt sheet guys will make up something that, could be logical or just could be something they're just completely blowing out of their you-know-what. And if
right,
it happens...
No, keep going. So then I got a point. I want a perfect example of it.
Yeah. So, the dirt sheets can just make up a something. They can make up a report. And, if it happens, then it makes their site look more credible. But if it doesn't happen, then they'll just be like, well, plans were changed at the last minute. And I just hate that. There's never anyone held responsible. The best example was earlier this year at the Royal Rumble. And going into the Royal Rumble, there were so many countless sites that were saying Carlito confirmed, Shelton Benjamin confirmed, MVP confirmed. I don't know if you guys remember that. There were so many sites.
Yeah,
saying, oh, these guys have been spotted backstage, confirmed for Rumble, and then none of them showed up. And then after the Rumble was over, I remember many of those dirt sheets all copying and pasting the same report. All plans were changed. They were backstage, and they weren't used. And you knew they were blowing it out of there, because MVP, he even tweeted on Twitter saying that he was in Japan at the time. He was very sarcastic, saying, apparently I'm supposed to be in the Rumble, and he was in Japan just chilling. So, what was the point you were going to make, John?
Since you brought up the Rumble, I also got something about the Rumble, but case in point about the dirt sheet rumor bullshit, this afternoon, and very early this afternoon, WWE announced Punk and Bryan against the Wyatts, okay? This afternoon, even this evening and tonight, how many websites are still reporting that the angle at the end of Raw last night was to set up a 6-on-6 tag match at Survivor Series?
Right.
Not even taking into account that the tag match has been already announced. Still swearing that, we're going to get 6-on-6.
Yeah.
And then as far as the Rumble goes, the only person who owned up to being wrong was Mike Johnson on PW Insider. He is the only one that actually owned up and did not play the whole all plans must have changed last minute card. I remember 2 days after the Rumble, he actually puts up and basically admitted, I got it wrong.
and he's the only one that manned up after that and
admitted
that he was wrong. The rest of them played that whole, oh, well, they were there, but, you know, last minute, you know, plans were changed not to use them. And I remember MVP tweeted a picture of him in bed in Japan. But he was the only one that manned up and said, I got it wrong. I fucked up.
Right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's why I have a little bit more respect for him than all these other sites. Tech, how do you feel about Dirt Sheets? I mean, do you read them? Because we never really talked about this before.
Because we all have shows and we're all close and all friends with Jay and friends. So, you know, I try to keep abreast it with some of the headlines, but I don't get too caught up in it. I don't read any of the spoilers, like the SmackDown spoilers. I don't read any of that. You know, if it's news or something about a wrestler, what they plan to do, I may read a little bit of it. I don't get too close of it. I grew up. We're wrestling in the 80s. There was no internet. It was no dirt sheets. It was just, you know, this is what happened live. This is what's happening on Saturday morning or Sunday afternoon, and you had to wait. And then we had the whole 1-900-909-9900 WCW or the Roush Report, you know. So, yes, I still remember that number. So,
wow.
That's
remember, what was his name? Lee Marshall. Remember how they had the
Lee Marshall.
And he was on the road. I miss that, man. Those are good
times.
What
was that, the road report? The little,
yep.
I remember that. I definitely did.
The 1-800 collect road report for Nitro.
Right, exactly. I don't, in the Nitro party, in the Nitro girls, you need to bring that back. You had like a raw party with the Divas. But
hey, that was one of the coolest visuals I ever remember as a kid. I don't remember, you guys might remember this. It was some Nitro. And they were, like, at a college beach house somewhere. And, like, the way the ring was set up, the entryway was, like, over a pool. It was really cool.
Yeah,
I remember.
Panama City.
Yeah, right. That was a really cool setup. I remember Goldberg had a match against somebody in the Flock. I think it was Lodi, or it could have been Lodi. Anyway, someone interfered, and, like, Goldberg threw him in the water. I thought it was, like, one of the coolest visuals.
Yeah, they used to do that once a year, the spring breakout show.
Yeah.
Be, like, Cub La Vela in Florida.
I definitely understand WWE likes to have, you know, indoor stuff, and, you know, it looks like they're trying to make a pattern of having Mania outdoor. But that's one thing I will give WWE. They had a lot of cool outdoor shows that was really neat.
WCW,
I would love
to see. And real quick, if you notice, and then I'll go back to the Dirt Sheets real quick, is that if you notice, it was only two venues in WCW that they actually would stay for a couple of weeks at a time. The Panama City Beach for spring break. And then it was Universal Studios. Remember they used to do the Nitros outside on a little MGM? When they used to do that for a while?
Yeah, I remember that.
Used to have,
I actually went to one of those.
Right.
WWE had their tribute to the troops outside. I thought that was cool. What do you guys think?
Anything they do with tribute to the troops is they, you know, say what you will about them, but, you know, that's always a good show.
Mm-hmm.
The Dirt Sheets, I don't get, real quick with the Dirt Sheets, just now somebody posted, I don't know if y'all saw this, it was a meme and reports about the Rumble 2014, Viscera, Hurricane Helms, and somebody else, and I didn't pay it no mind. The only person that I know personally, because I spoke to him, and I actually did some work with him last month, Jake the Snake Roberts actually did say he's trying to get into the Rumble in 2014. He's actually contacted Vince and WWE.
Yeah, Jake's been trying to do that for a while. He's been trying to make that happen.
Right. So
yeah,
it's out of the horse's mouth.
Yeah, I would pop for that. He's in great shape. He's lost a lot of weight. You know, DDP yoga has really, really saved a lot of lives. All right, guys, we've reached the one-hour mark. Hopefully Hurricane Helms calls in later, so what we're going to do is just going to take a short break. And since Survivor Series is coming up, we're going to play some Survivor Series music. So just hold on for a bit, guys. We're just going to take a short break.
Dice, play your cards, break the rules. said play it safe, never play the game. So many players, but too many pawns, too many judges say what's right or wrong. Let them jump into the fire if they want to play. Every time that you stand up, there's another chance to fall.
AZ, firm style, back in effect,
student.
New regime. Each one teach one, take time to be some. The young speak dumb, money divide the weak one. Where we from, the cold streets you keep from. If not, it'll be your lungs you bleed from. Repeat none, most addicts you need sprung. Lost into a tunnel, sleep comes. On the black, telling back, no burns, no concerns. Straight away, no turns.
Judgment day, causing all markers. Hounds of hell, it's getting darker as they carry you away. You wonder what went wrong.
Welcome back to PWP, episode number 60. You just heard Survivor Series Deadly Games. That was based off the Deadly Games tournament way back in the early days of the Attitude Era. I'm not really a fan of one-night tournaments, but, you know, a lot of fans do like it. Good times, back when Survivor Series had a little bit more hype to it. It could definitely come back this year with all the tag teams and the factions they have, and, you know, Survivor Series. If there was any year where you could bring credibility back to it, it's definitely this year. WWE has the roster to do it. But again, welcome back to PWP. If you're just joining us, we hyped up PWS, the pay-per-view they have coming up this coming up later on this weekend. We also have Hurricane Helms, who's going to be joining us shortly. Hopefully he can call in. And right now I'm just kind of waiting for Jay to come in right now. He hasn't messaged me or anything. So I'm just going to bring back John. I'm going to bring back Evan, a.k.a. Tech, and we're just going to talk about Raw. All right, how you guys doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
All right, now, Tech, you said you didn't watch Raw last night, right? Or did you DVR it or anything?
I DVR'd Raw. I normally don't get off. I got off a little later last night, so I did DVR Raw. We'll be watching Raw later tonight, tomorrow, but I am familiar with what happened. So.
Yeah, what about you, John? Did you see Raw last night?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay.
It's on, yeah, I got a DVR'd.
Okay.
John's like me.
Yeah, I watched it last night. I thought the show was okay. You know, UK, I always watch it when they're in the UK, you know, just because the crowds are better. I think, you know, I'm a big fan of, you know, crazy crowds and whatever. One thing that's kind of starting to annoy me a little bit for wrestling crowds is I think some wrestling crowds try a little bit too hard to get themselves over, if you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean. Like
mm-hmm.
if something funny happens or if there's a really good match, then sure, like by all means, chant something crazy. But I feel like some of these crowds try a little bit too hard to recapture the magic that other crowds have done. For instance, you know, the Post-Mania 29 crowd or the Post-Mania 28 crowd, I think it's impossible to perfectly replicate those crowds. You know, during nights, the stars were aligned, everybody was there, the product was high. I think it's impossible to perfectly replicate some crowds. I think sometimes crowds try a little bit too hard to get themselves over. Overall, though, I thought Raw was okay.
Even to plug in my hometown where I live in now, Baltimore, Maryland, one of the greatest wrestling cities alive, we started the Michael McGillicuddy chants. Remember, the Y family debuted on Raw here in Baltimore. I was there. When the Y family came, we started the Michael McGillicuddy chants. And like you said, so since then, everybody, some fans and some are just tried to overdo it and just didn't
yeah.
work. Just thought I'd plug in my hometown.
Yeah.
Plug Mick Foley.
Yeah, it's really crazy. You know, I thought one of the most unwarranted fan moments was when they finally debuted Bray Wyatt, and you had, like, a good portion of fans chanting Husky Harris, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, what? Like, it's one thing, if the gimmick's not getting over, then you chant Husky Harris, but it was, like, his first night, and they were just chanting Husky Harris. It's crazy. You know, if the Internet was what it is now, you know, back in the 90s, just imagine the crap that Kane would have gotten. I mean, they would have been chanting Isaac Yankin when he tombstone Taker in Hell in a Cell. I mean, that's just crazy. Overall, though, I thought Raw was okay. The handicap matches were the theme, which definitely gave it a more old-school feel. You had Goldust and Cody Rhodes. They fought Randy Orton. It was a good match. You know, Randy Orton took the heelish way out. He just walked out, got the count-out loss. The win went to Goldust and Cody. Big Show came out and choke-slammed Orton through the table. What was ironic was a similar segment happened the post-Mania Raw with the same exact crowd reaction. You had
right.
the Real Americans against John Cena. That was a good match. A little disappointed that Cesaro didn't swing Cena. I mean, he gets to swing everybody else, but God forbid
it's
someone
Cena.
You know, yeah, that kind of annoyed me. I mean, you could have at least let Cesaro swing him 3 or 4 times. I mean, I'm sure Cena will get swung one day. It was a good match, and, you know, Swagger, he was the one that tapped out, so they still made Cesaro look strong. And then the match everyone's talking about, the main event match, which was CM Punk and Daniel Bryan against The Shield, which is a very good match, but then had that crazy WCW-ish ending, and that's exactly what it was. A lot of fans are like, oh, Toph, you're just saying that because you grew up a WCW fan. No, that's exactly how WCW ended. Go back and look at WCW during the Monday Night Wars, back when NWO was first hot. That was how Nitro ended every night, and that was why WCW kicked WWF, you know what, in the ratings every week, because it ended with some crazy brawl. It got old after a while, but when they first did it, it was exciting, and it made fans look forward to it. So if you don't know what happened, you know, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan were fighting The Shield. It was a good match. CM Punk put Dean Ambrose and Anaconda Vice. The lights go out, and the lights come back on, and there's the Wyatt family in the ring. And there's this awkward moment where the Wyatt family staring at Punk, Punk staring at the Wyatt family, Daniel Bryan staring at Punk, Punk staring at Bryan. They're staring at the Wyatt family. And then while all this is going on, The Shield's in the middle of the ring, and they're just kind of like, well, what the hell? So one of the Wyatt guys pushes Seth Rollins out the way, and then Seth pushes him back. This leads to Dean Ambrose holding Seth back, and this leads to the other Wyatt guy, because I don't know their names. The one with the what's his name? Luke Harper? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Harper is the one that looks like Brody. Name is Brody Lee. Harper is the dark bearded one.
Right, right. So the main thing that happened was... Yeah. Okay, so Seth Rollins was basically like getting ready to fight one of the other guys. And it was one of those moments where it was like the other guy was holding them back. And then you had Roman Reigns arguing with Bray Wyatt outside. And then Bray Wyatt hit Roman Reigns, and then Roman Reigns hit Bray Wyatt. And then The Shield and the Wyatt family just start beating the ever-loving crap out of each other. And while all this is going on, Daniel Bryan and CM Punk are just standing there laughing, and the crowd's just going crazy. I mean, this was just perfect WCW right here. That reminded me, like, you guys may or may not remember, there was a particular Nitro that had an almost similar ending. It was the Nitro where the Giant turned. It was I think the main event was, I think it was Flair, Double A, maybe the Faces of Fear against like Sting, Luger, and like two other people, I think. And the NWO just came out and just destroyed everybody. And then the Giant came, and everyone thought the Giant was going to fight the NWO, but then he turned. And then it just turned into a big brawl. It was like NWO versus Horsemen versus Dungeon of Doom versus WCW. And it was crazy. Like, they destroyed the ramp. Yeah, what's up?
And no, that had to be one of the ugliest choke slams that, well, Medium showed in. Medium show put on Ming in history. Almost the ugliest Hogan getting put in a choke slam at Judgment Day by Undertaker.
Yeah, that sound was pretty bad. But the fans are loving the Shield Wyatt family thing. You know, IWC fans have been talking about it for a while. There's been this boner. You know, there's always something that the IWC is yearning for, and it's definitely been the Shield and the Wyatt family. And so the Shield and Wyatt family, they start brawling, and you know, the fans are just going crazy. And then eventually Bray Wyatt tells them we have the same enemy. So then they decide to jump Punk and Bryan, and then, like, all the baby faces come out. I think it was the Usos and Goldust and Cody, and it just leads into this massive brawl. You know, the fans are into it. And, you know, as the show went off, it seemed pretty clear that the direction that many were hoping would be the Wyatt family and the Shield against, you know, Bryan, Punk, the Usos, and Goldust and Cody, and, you know, this epic 6-on-6 Survivor Series match. But as John said earlier, it looks like the idea would be to have a tag team match between Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, and the Wyatt family. So
I got an idea real quick, and see if John agrees with me or you, Toph. Number one, WWE is big on foreshadowing, so maybe they're throwing a little tease out there. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know, can you say whatever you want on here? It's like my show, you say whatever, you cussing everything?
I mean, sure, go ahead.
Okay, it's kind of like this. We all have girlfriends, right? I have a wifey, and anybody have a girlfriend, they kind of blee-balls you. You know, you get with a woman, she kind of give you blee-balls, she gets you, like, really excited, and she leave you alone, kind of build you to that anticipation and leave you dry. That's what WWE did. They blee-balled the fans and said, okay, we're going to tease you with the Wyatts and the Shield, but then we're going to go back to a regularly scheduled program. So maybe there will be a payoff, or, you know, you'll get a happy ending, if you will. And after the Rumble, WWE can go back and say, oh, remember when the Shield and the Wyatt family? That's what I'm thinking. Or also, maybe they're just doing that because it's the UK. You know, WWE tend to book different when they go overseas, whether it be the UK or Japan. They always tend to book shows differently, kind of similar to like a house show, than they do here in the States, because they don't always go by the status quo storyline. So maybe that was it.
That's very possible, Tech, and I hope you're right, but at the same time, I'm very nervous because I recall the Shield, not the Shield, I recall the Core and New Nexus having a brawl at the beginning of Rumble, and everyone thought that was going to lead to this epic heel versus heel faction at WrestleMania 27, and that went nowhere. Core just died. And New Nexus just got destroyed by Orton. You guys remember that?
Oh, gosh, yeah, the Core.
Yeah. Anyway, we got a 732. I believe this is Jay coming back. Jay, is this you?
Yeah, I'm back, man. Just decided to call in and to see what's going on. Did you guys get Hurricane in or what?
No, Hurricane hasn't called yet, but just still hoping that he calls in. We discussed his career earlier and how he was going to fight Chris Hero.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's going to be a big match. I'm looking forward to it, of course. We're going to try to get some exclusive footage of that match when we're in Raleigh for PWS Wrestle Bowl. But, yeah, I'm not sure what the deal is with Mr. Hurricane Helms. If he doesn't call in, you know, I'm going to have to, I guess, talk to him this Saturday and see what the deal was. And maybe we can reschedule it, have him on another time. But if he does call in, cool, we'll keep it rolling. But, yeah, keep doing your thing, man. I'm just on the show for the rest. I'll just be a contributor this week. You can continue with your hosting duties, so.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Jay. So, you know, we were just basically just doing a raw review, and, you know, Tech and John, they DVR'd it, but they haven't watched it yet. Did you watch Raw, Jay?
Yeah, you know, I did, and I got to say, man, I enjoyed it. Like, I'm usually not big on the Mark crowds, the crowds that try to get themselves over and chant random stuff when they're not feeling the match or when Randy Orton's out there. I'm usually not a big fan of that. But there were times with this crowd and with this venue last night for Raw where they were reacting at the right moments. And when they do that, that's when it adds to the show. Like you guys were talking about the Shield and the Wyatts. That moment was really, really, really cool. It's one of the standout moments all year on Monday Night Raw. Overall, the show was decent. It was your average Raw. But, you know, it kind of had some big moments. Like Big Show with that ridiculous choke slam. I thought it was cool how Big Show got on the stairs and stood on the stairs with Orton because you had a choke slam coming from the freaking heavens, you know, through that table. So that was cool. Sorry to spoil it, guys, but that was cool. And there were a couple other real cool moments, I thought. I was kind of perplexed by Ryback losing to R-Truth, but, you know, sometimes
whoa,
that happens
whoa.
Here and there.
Wait, the black man won on Raw? I'm sorry. R-Truth won on Raw?
Yeah, it's very hard to take the Ryback versus Goldberg stuff seriously.
Wow.
If him job the R-Truth. I don't know what the deal is with Ryback. But, you know, Jay, you were talking about the cool stuff on Raw. My favorite part of Raw was actually at the very beginning where Randy Orton was in the back and he was complaining, you know, asking the Shield why they didn't have his back. And the Shield said, "We don't work for you." I like that because it finally gave the Shield some consensus on, like, who they're with. Like, we're not with you. We're with Triple H. We just happen to help you because you just happen to be who Triple H wants to be on top at the moment. So if Triple H, for whatever reason, wants someone else to be on top, then I could definitely see the Shield turning on Orton. I like this segment because it finally gave the Shield, I mean, the Shield already has personality, but there's no story. You see what I'm saying? Like, I liked it because it finally gave the Shield some story. Like, okay, they're not Orton's cronies. You know, this isn't like your generic Legacy 2.0. This is the Shield doing what Triple H tells them to do. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that was a cool moment. And if you notice, Toph, Randy Orton, during that whole rant on the Shield, he was staring directly at Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns was the guy to tell him, "We don't work for you." I'm a big believer that Roman Reigns is going to be the next breakout star in WWE, especially from, you know, a standpoint of a heel in a faction that will kind of break away from the pack. I think Big E Langston is a guy that's going to do the same thing, that he's already on that road. But I think Roman Reigns is a megastar credibility, and if you saw it last night too in that final segment, he was the guy to kind of break up the Wyatts and the Shield and get everybody back on the same level. That the little subtle things like that, when it comes to a big babyface turn in the future, foreshadowing, if you go back and watch WWE in late 2004, early 2005, you see that they did that same stuff with Batista. Little tiny subtle things week after week that kind of foreshadowed his babyface turn. And I'm seeing that from Roman Reigns, so that's pretty cool. And, I think that was a cool moment. Yeah, the Shield is just where they're just working for Triple H and Stephanie, the authority, and they really don't give a shit about Randy Orton, quite frankly.
Yeah. As Jay said earlier, spoilers, last night was a very strange time to be a Ryback fan. Very strange. First, R-Truth beats him. You know, when I first saw the match, when I saw Ryback and I was wondering who his opponent was going to be, I saw R-Truth. My first thought was, okay, this would just be like a short squash. Ryback will beat him. He'll cut a heel promo, maybe building up to Rumble or something. But then Truth beats him just randomly out of nowhere. I'm like, okay. And then later on in the night, Paul Heyman comes out and he just cuts that promo. Basically, I wouldn't say he buried Ryback, but Heyman dismissed him, you know, basically saying he was a loser and he didn't need Ryback. And I just thought it was really, really strange. I have not read the SmackDown spoilers because, as I said earlier, I've gotten into the habit of not reading dirt sheets, and I think this is actually making the product better. So I'm not sure what the deal with Ryback is. What do you guys think of Ryback? I know we've discussed this before. What do you think, John?
I said this to all you guys a year ago. When all you guys swore he was going to be WWE champion, world champion, win the Rumble, main event WrestleMania. I told you guys he's not that good. So I'd be a broken record if I said anything else right now.
Tech, what do you think about Ryback?
he's okay. I mean, it's funny that you have Ryback, who started off as WWE's version of the Incredible Hulk, beating the hell out of everybody, saying three-word phrases, then out the blue, he now can speak coherently in sentences with RVD's attire. And, I mean, to me, it's like, what are they doing with him? He did what he did. He turned heel, which was good. He gave him a little heel push. Now he's just being a bully, slapping people in the face with potato salad and shrimp salad, getting mad at people in bathrooms. Like, what was his point? And he pushed over to me, the CM Punk. I'm so glad that it's over. I'm tired of seeing CM Punk against Ryback and CM Punk against Curtis Axel, which does nothing for me, by the way. So I don't know what Ryback. I'm not. Hopefully they separate him with Heyman. I don't think he needs to be with Heyman. Ryback does need somebody to speak for him, but I just think he's just a good. He's one of them wrestlers where he's just a force. He doesn't need to talk much. Just go out there and wrestle to beat the hell out of people at the end. That's in my opinion.
Jay, do you think that Ryback can be redeemed at this point? What do you think is the right direction for Ryback?
I'm still a fan of Ryback. I think that it's a marathon, not a sprint with a guy like this. And, of course, he's on a losing streak. He's not doing too good lately. And there were those reports of heat in the locker room, heat in the dressing room, for some reason or another. I don't remember what exactly the report was. But apparently he's got heat. Usually with stuff like that, where there's smoke, there's fire, at least a little bit of fire. And this constant losing streak that he's been on, that kind of tells you that, hey, maybe there is some kind of heat on Ryback right now, which is fine. You could say he's not that good. When it comes to a move-by-move wrestling match, he really isn't that good. He's one-dimensional in a lot of ways, but I thought he had something for a while when he was doing that bully thing. I thought he was kind of funny, and he was calling himself the big guy and all that kind of stuff. I thought that was good. But it's a time and place for him where they're pushing for Goldberg. And I wrote about this on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. I wrote a little article that if you watch last week's SmackDown, he had a pretty damn good match with John Cena. He almost beat John Cena. In that match, he used both the spear and the jackhammer. That gave way for Michael Cole and JBL to mention Goldberg twice in the matter of a minute or two. They mentioned Goldberg twice with that, and they mentioned the comparisons and all that kind of stuff. So I think that there's still that hope that they can have a Goldberg-Ryback match. You got to remember, guys, it only takes 1 week to just put this guy back in a winning streak. And it's not like R-Truth beat him with his finish. R-Truth rolled him up out of nowhere, caught him with a roll-up like Jericho did or whatever a month ago. So it's not like he finished him with the scissor kick or whatever. So I still think there's time to redeem Ryback. I think there's a lot of years left in his career. But right now, obviously, there's not a solidified angle for him. I think Heyman's kind of distancing himself from Ryback, and it's really only a matter of time, in my mind, before the WrestleMania push starts. He won't be in a top four match, I don't think, but he'll be somewhere in that five or six area as far as a match is concerned, unless they get Goldberg. I mean, if they get Goldberg, you really don't know what kind of a lot of people are hating on it, but you don't know what kind of fanfare that could bring to the card, that could bring to the excitement of Goldberg making a return for a match. You know, it could be interesting. I'd like to see it happen.
Yeah, from what I understand, Goldberg was always more towards the PG product. It's kind of what WWE is pushing now. So this is the right time for him to come back. You know, he always talked about how he wanted to be working for a company that his kids could be proud of. So, you know, now is a good time for it to come back if that's the case. So, you know. Was there anything else really worthwhile
absolutely
that you talk about on Raw, Jay?
You know, I did like the last match of the card. I thought that was really good with the Shield against with Brian and Punk and all that stuff. I thought that was awesome because it was the first time we've really seen CM Punk get his hands on the Shield. I thought Kane kind of getting into this role as the director of operations. I think it's cool. I was actually watching the first couple of minutes with my girlfriend, and she thought that Kane was scarier walking out with a suit on. I was like, because she's so used to seeing him in the big red thing as a monster, and he's been goofy and he's been funny in the past, and he walks out with a suit. It's kind of weird. It's a complete flip-flop of what he's ever been, but it's also a character reigniting for him. So I think he was good for sure in his role. But other than that, man, I mean, they did the CM Punk Heyman thing. Heyman's always gold on the microphone. Curtis Axel, Dolph Ziggler, was what it was. Not a huge fan of either of those guys right now. Dolph Ziggler, to me, doesn't seem like he's enthusiastic about what he's doing. Even though he's getting pushed down the card, he's still got to show that enthusiasm and try her ass off. But like I said, it still comes down to that run-of-the-mill Raw feeling. I like, guys, the John Cena involvement with Cesaro and Jack Swagger, because John Cena, even though he wins every single time, he still makes those guys look great. He sells the shit out of all their heavy moves. Like Cesaro, he makes Cesaro look awesome in there. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but he makes Cesaro look really good every time. He lets Cesaro get his shit in every single time. And, you know, it's going to take time for those guys like that to get over the hump. But overall, you know, Raw is running the mill.
If I'm right, isn't there, I did see this report, if I'm correct, overseas, didn't John Cena break character and give Cesaro the world title?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, in Germany.
Yes, he did the same thing to Sheamus as well 2 years ago. I remember that.
I'm not a Cena fan, but I will say that since Cena has been back, and I agree with Jay, I think Cena, I kind of like Cena better now. I'm still not a fan of Cena, but he's doing different moves. He's doing the ugly Batista bomb now, and that four Nelson Netbreaker, whatever the hell that is. You know, it's like a different Cena. Even though he's going to win, like Jay said, he is selling, I said it last week, a lot more. He's making people look good.
Hey, props to Glenn Jacobs, a.k.a. Kane. You know, fans don't realize, man, this dude has been playing Kane, the character, for 16 years. That is a long time. And now he's finally playing something different. I mean, can you imagine how awkward and shocking it is for older fans? I mean, this just to play a character for so long. And he's so in character. He's like the most devoted character I've ever seen. I can find countless pictures of Kane at autograph signings still wearing the mask. I mean, you remember the little Chef Bardee commercials he did where he was still wearing the mask? I mean, Kane was always in character. And playing Kane for 16 years and now finally being something else, the mask off and the hair gone, that takes a lot of courage. So props to him. You know, this is definitely going to take time to get used to. I'm willing to give it a chance because he's a great promo guy. I'm sure he'll make it work. I just say get rid of Maddox and just make Kane the new general manager. But you got to get rid of that theme, though, because that theme doesn't match his current character at all. I'm not saying turn him into Joseph Parks, but, you know, you need something to make you think about a weasel.
You know what I've always loved about Kane, and this is the thing about Kane that a lot of people probably haven't noticed. Ever since he became Kane, he has always worn that contact lens in his, right eye. Every single time I've ever seen that guy, whether it was in person, at the show, at the arena, on TV, I've never seen him without that contact lens. It goes all the way back to that promo that Paul Bearer cut, just, I guess it was like maybe the day after his debut, maybe a week after his debut, whatever it was. And he goes something along the lines of, he lost his eye in the fire, look at his eye is gone. And that contact is in there every single week. You want to talk about devotion to a character? I've looked for it over the last 6-7 years to see if he ever takes that contact out when he's on TV, and I've never seen him without that contact lens.
Even if you know evil, he wore the contact.
Right, man.
That dude is always in.
I will say real quick, Jay, like you said, it's the little stuff. If y'all have noticed, and no, I didn't see Raw, but I did get screenshots from my fans, Kane is wearing a red tie. So it's the little stuff. Kane is wearing a red tie. So it's still, my thing is, it still kind of reminds you, even though he's the new suited, wearing the suits he did for the political race back when he was a teacher, he's wearing a red tie that kind of still flashbacks and lets you know I'm still Kane. And who's to say? The Y family keeps saying the devil made me do it. Who are they talking about? Who's to say maybe they still didn't brainwash Kane and maybe they brought him on in? They kind of weasel their way inside the authorities. This is little thoughts I have with the storyline. I could be wrong, but just a little thought I had.
That's interesting. That's a nice long-term kind of thing. That would be cool. All right, so we've been talking about WWE. Let me just go and speed through TNA right quick. For me, the coolest thing about Impact last week was I liked the opening promo where basically the Main Event Mafia broke up. They all came out and they said that their objective was to kill off the Aces and Eights and make sure Bully Ray wasn't the champion anymore. And they accomplished both of those goals, and all four of them said that they all had their own goals to accomplish and they were going to go their separate ways. Sting walked off, and what made the promo cool was it was like each one of them said something and then they left. Sting was basically like, well, I'm going to make sure that some people that think they're not entitled to everything don't get what they want, reference to Dixie. Sting left, and then Joe got on the mic. Fans responded very strong to him. I like Joe's promo. Joe was talking about how it's been too long since he's been a world champion and how it's finally time to bring respect and credibility back to the title, and the fans responded very well. You know, say what you want about Joe. He's been through a lot of stuff, but whenever TNA does give him the spotlight, the fans react every time. So, you know, Joe, he basically looked at Angle and he looked at Magnus and he was like, you know, I care about you guys, we're brothers and blah, blah, blah. But when it comes time for it, I'll make you tap out. And, you know, Joe left. Fans got the loudest. Fans were really responding well to Joe. Magnus cut his promo and, you know, Magnus was getting mixed reactions. I like Magnus. He's cool. The problem with Magnus is he's from the UK. And, you know, nothing against UK fans. UK fans are great, but a lot of UK wrestlers really just come off as dislikable or unlikable. He just comes off as arrogant and brash. And yeah, I think they'll probably just pull the trigger and turn Magnus heel. Most fans are going to boo him anyway. So, and, of course, yeah. Kurt Angle cut his promo. And the weird thing about Kurt Angle was the whole show consisted of Angle and Root just brawling randomly. I mean, I like their matches and all, but Root and Angle brawling was just all over the show. I lost count how many times they brawled, maybe like four or five times. Like the first initial segment was cool, but when it happened like three more times later, I was kind of like, okay. Angle didn't really acknowledge Aries, which kind of bothered me because I think that Angle-Aries is a great matchup. I think that match could talk serious money. John and I were discussing this earlier on Facebook. I think under the right booking and the right circumstances, I think that Aries Angle could be a great program for TNA, mm-hmm. but they're just kind of like rushing it, not really doing the best that they can. I mean, we're getting it on free TV, so I'm not complaining, but at the same time, I feel like that they could do more. And I thought the Full Metal Mayhem match of Saban and Jeff Hardy was actually pretty good. I was very surprised. I thought it was going to be like, yeah, but it was actually okay. It was good. So that was Impact. Not much else to speak of. Any of you guys got anything to say about Impact?
No, I'm good, and I'm actually going to tap out, guys. I'm fading here. I've been getting up for work early, so I'll talk to you guys next week, all right?
All right, thanks for calling in, John.
Later.
I got something to say about Impact. And,
oh, sure,
it's not my usual. It's not my usual negative diatribe on what TNA does. I actually didn't mind the show. I kind of liked the chaotic nature of it. Sometimes a wrestling show needs that. You need to kind of go away from your every week format and do something a little bit crazy, and that's what they did with Kurt Angle and Bobby Roode, and also with Aces and Eights. Now, it kind of boggled my mind a little bit what was happening there because Aces and Eights has been seemingly dying for weeks, and there have been so many foreshadows to the breakup with the way Nux and I always call him Nux, but the way Nux and Garrett Bischoff have been reacting to Bully Ray, the kind of stuff Taz has been saying, the kind of stuff Bully's been saying to the group. And to think that it was all just kind of a setup for Mr. Anderson is hard to believe. However, it is believable that they did talk it through and were able to come to some kind of agreement to try and screw Mr. Anderson, and I think that was a pretty cool segment. It was one of those things where they kind of went the exact opposite way of everywhere the fans thought they were going to go, and I think it worked. I think it was cool, man. My first instinct was, oh, man, they're keeping Ace and Ace together? How long is this shit going to go on? But then I thought to myself, well, if they end it, what are they going to do with these guys? Like, what's Bully Ray going to do if he's not the leader of the faction? He's just going to be Bully Ray, this new main event heel with his little slam piece, with Tesmach on his arm. And what's Knox and Garrett Bischoff going to be without a pal? They're not going to be able to float in TNA if they're not attached to Ace and Eights right now. So it makes me believe that there is a possibility that Ace and Eights could continue, and they need to add some fresh faces to that group, maybe some debuting talent that we've never seen before. I think that could really help elevate somebody brand new, Chris Hero. No, I'm just kidding. But maybe somebody can show up and help out that faction a little bit. And then maybe there could be a power struggle towards the end with a new up-and-coming talent that we've never seen before on TNA TV. Because I think, guys, I know you're going to agree with me on this, TNA really needs to start bringing in some fresh faces because they had a bunch, and then they let them all go. So they really need to just go back to the drawing board, get some fresh guys. Don't do a gut check. Don't do anything like that. Debut them with gimmicks, kind of like they did with Ethan Carter III. I can't even remember his WWE name, but he was in WWE, but he wasn't nearly as overexposed as most of the guys they bring in from WWE. So they need to go that route, bring in some fresh guys, some fresh talent, some guys that aren't signed to NXT or Ring of Honor or anything like that. There are tons of those guys out there, and they might need to take a chance on somebody who's hungry that may not be the best wrestler or the best guy in the world. Somebody who's hungry and shows that determination, and maybe you'll hit lightning in a bottle and get a star in your hands because, I don't know, I'm kind of ranting now, but I do see with the new direction, and there's obviously a new direction, that good things could happen in the future. So they need to stick with this new direction. Like I've always said about TNA, it's seemingly one step forward, two steps back. They need to keep going forward at this point.
Jay, what you said is right. And it's like, and I'll be doing some work with Kevin Sullivan soon. It's like Kevin Sullivan always said, you know, back when WCW was WWE and even TNA, WWE sold convertibles or Corvettes. You guys sold Harleys. You guys sold different. Like my co-host, TNA tried to be WWE Junior. And you need to do something. All of the fans, I don't know, but you, Jay, you probably get this too. A lot of fans keep talking about, yeah, remember TNA when that started, the X Division. And yeah, they need to just go back and be them. You know, don't be WWE. Don't worry about these big stars. Go back to the six-sided ring. Bring back the six-sided ring. Bring in some new stars. Bring Michael Tarver. He's kind of back on, you know, the up and up. Get Michael Tarver. Hell, you got AJ Styles going around. You working with Muda. Why not bring some guys from Muda's corporation? Try to have AJ Styles bring his own stable. Like you said, Jay, do something that is different. I'm glad Main Event Mafia is dead. Sting left. There's nothing else he can really do. Hopefully he goes to WWE, fight, take, and retire. Joe needs to be Joe. He hasn't been Joe in years. Gosh, we hope he don't bring back that little knife he had. Remember that? He had the little knife or what have you.
Joe is hilarious, dude. One of the first wrestling interviews I ever heard was when Joe was being interviewed by Live Audio Wrestling, and they were asking him a bunch of questions, and the last question they asked him was, they asked him, who were the ninjas that kidnapped him? And when they asked him about the ninjas, Joe, like, purposely went into a place with bad static, and I was like, I can't hear you. I'm breaking up. You know, we'll never know who those ninjas were. Oh, man, that was a crazy angle. You're just making me laugh.
Yeah, I remember that. But, yeah, but Jake said, you know, Joe, just be Joe. Go back, dominate, beating the hell out of people on TV. Sting, just wrestle your last matches right out to the sunset. Go to WWE, face Taker, DN. Magnus, he'll be a heel, and Angle, like you said, Angle still can work and wrestle with a lot of people. So like Jay said, hopefully it's something different, you know?
Yeah, Jay made some good points. That was a good promo from the Aces and Eights. They did make you believe that the Aces and Eights was going to end. It was very similar to that Mark Henry retirement farce from earlier this year. I mean, not as good as that, but similar. Like, you really thought Herring was retiring, and then World's Strongest Slam, and it was like, oh, man, he got us, you know. The fans were hyped really hard for the possibility of the Aces and Eights breaking up. And, you know, Taz, even though he sucks on commentary, he's still good at cutting promos, and so he got in Bully's face, and the fans were into it, and then they jumped to Anderson. So, you know, it was a great, great segment. And, you know, they got us. You know, a lot of times we as wrestling fans think that we know what's going to happen, but I admit, they got me in that second. I thought they were going to break up. I had the meme ready. I was getting ready to post it. And then right before I finished it, they worked me. I'm like, darn, they got me. Oh, yeah, other stuff that happened was Gail Kim and LaTapa, or Lady Tapa, they came in and they destroyed ODB, Velvet Sky, and Brooke. And Gail Kim basically said that she'd done everything she could do in the Knockouts division and there was nothing left, and did an open challenge for any particular talent not currently employed with TNA. So the possibilities are endless there. There's all types of female workers all over in the indies. I like to see where that goes. Austin Aries versus Kurt Angle has been confirmed to be a submission match. That should be great potential TV match of the year for TNA if they give it time. Hopefully it doesn't have a screwy finish. Wouldn't be surprised if it did, though, given the Angle-Rude thing. So I believe James Storm will be fighting Bobby Roode later on in the tournament, and Samoa Joe will fight Magnus. It's pretty obvious what's going to happen here. It's obvious that AJ Styles is going to come back regardless of who wins this tournament, and, you know, we'll get your champion versus champion thing, which is different for TNA. We've seen it in WWE, but we've never seen it in TNA. So really the question at this point is predicting who's going to win this tournament. I think that there's the safe route, there's the IWC route, and then there's the wild card route. I think the safe route is Jeff Hardy. He's one of the few guys that draws money for TNA. He's very popular, arguably one of the top draws in WWE before he left. Sells a lot of merchandise. Kids love him. You know, you could easily do the babyface versus babyface thing with AJ and Jeff Hardy. They have not fought too many times. The match is still fresh. So that's your safe route. The IWC route is Joe. You know, Joe has been out of the world title scene for far too long. And if you remember, one of the very first Bound for Glory series matches this year was Joe and AJ Styles, and it went to a no contest because the time ran out. They were both trying to put their submissions on each other, but they were unable to put the other away. It was a really good match.
Right.
And you know, Joe and AJ had a lot of great matches back in the early days of TNA, and I would definitely be on board for a Joe-AJ match, champion for champion. Just think about that. Oh, Joe champion
right.
versus AJ Styles champion. That's definitely a great way to market interest for TNA. And then there's the wild card route, Magnus. And the reason I say Magnus is the wild card is because you got to remember that TNA goes to the UK, you know, when they start a new year. And, you know, Magnus is a big star. TNA is really popular in the UK. And you got to wonder if they're thinking about putting the belt on Magnus for that big UK pop. So what do you think, Jay? What do you think is going to win this tournament?
I think Magnus is going to win. I think it's been partially the plan for a long time to put the strap on Magnus. He had a lot of momentum going, a lot of popularity right before this main event Mafia thing kind of started to dwindle down. He got in this little feud with Sting and whatnot. He was my pick to win the Bound for Glory series until AJ Styles kind of they kind of hot-shotted what he was doing. So I think it's going to come down to a rematch between those two, because if you remember, they had a great match to end the Bound for Glory series. And I think Magnus is probably going to become like the new face of TNA. I don't think you don't have an angle if you have AJ Styles come back and then beat whoever wins the tournament. You don't have a story. The storyline dies if you do it that way. The storyline is over, then you just go back to AJ Styles being a fighting champion. Right now, what they need is some compelling TV. There's more money in the chase than there is in the catch. And AJ Styles didn't really have much of a chase. You know, he won the BFG series, which was obviously hot-shotted with the 25-point match or whatever it was, and then he had like a little short feud with Bully Ray, and now he's left with the belt. So if he, you know, signs that new contract to come back and have a champion versus champion match, loses to Magnus, who I think is going to be the next face of TNA. I don't mean to use that WWE terminology, but you know what I'm saying, in Dixie Carter's eyes anyway. Then you have yourself an angle. You have yourself something to kind of build on. You have AJ going back to that chase. And I think that's where they need to be. I mean, him defending the title all over the world is pretty fucking awesome. Don't get me wrong. I think that's really, really cool. But he's got to lose it for the angle to continue.
Right.
Tech, who are you predicting to win this tournament?
Listening to Jay, he makes a good point with Magnus, because TNA is super over in the UK. And what Jay said is right. I kind of like Magnus winning the title as a heel, but I don't know. I say give it to Joe. Just somebody that's recognizable. Give it to Joe. Have Joe win. Start building Joe back to being the angry Joe killer that he was in the X Division, just beating the hell out of everybody. Not saying he got to be unbeatable, like he's untouchable, but just make Joe Joe. Joe has not been Joe in years. So I say, I'm with Jay, kind of Magnus. Either way, it makes sense. I say give the title to Joe, make Joe what he is, he wrestles, and then have AJ Styles come back, have him have their good two or three matches, and then after that, then you could throw in Magnus.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because Magnus and Joe will be fighting each other in their first round. So I think it's safe to say I don't see Magnus beating Joe clean. So if he beats Joe, then I feel like he's going to turn heel, do something cowardly, like maybe hold a tights, put his feet on the rope, maybe even use an item. I'm not sure. Or, you know, a foreign object. But, yeah, I'm hoping they push Joe. I understand what Jay's saying because, again, TNA is really popular in the U.K. They got the boot camp thing. You know, UK fans love TNA. Well, UK fans love wrestling in general, but they love TNA. So, the title is going on Magnus at some point. They pushed him too hard. But I feel like Joe has deserved a push. And, again, I stand to the promo. When Joe cut his promo, he got the loudest reaction of the four that cut it. You know, that's one thing I will give Joe. Like, even though he may not be as good as he was, you know, his weight has been out of control at times. Every time TNA gives him the spotlight, the fans react every time. We're running a little bit low on time, so what I want to do is I want to piggyback ride Joe into the big issue going on about Daniel Bryan. What is this Daniel Bryan thing about? The general consensus amongst the IWC is that he's been de-pushed back to upper mid-card status, and many are claiming the lackluster SummerSlam buy rate for the reason. There was a report of some kind, but this was a real report. This wasn't like a dirt sheet. JR had posted something, I think, on his blog site where he said something about when they book a big pay-per-view like Mania or SummerSlam, they think about the matches as an attraction, like at a theme park. You go to a theme park to go to the big Ferris wheel. So JR was saying in the blog, if something doesn't get really good buy rates, it just means that they got to change the attraction. So what's up with Daniel Bryan? Let's start with you, Jay. Do you think he's being de-pushed? Do you think there's a plan in the future? What do you think about Daniel Bryan?
Well, I wrote an article last night kind of previewing the Big Show versus Randy Orton match on Survivor Series. You can get that article from AlisonPalace.com. And I kind of alluded to what I think is going on there. And I think that this could have been the plan all along. Because, yeah, okay, he's getting pushed down the card. He's not in the main event anymore. But when have guys like his stature, his size, stayed in the main event for a prolonged amount of time? They usually take a little bit of time off and then bring them back. I'm sticking with the fact that I think Daniel Bryan's biggest win of his career is still in the future. I'm being a complete optimist about this. I think WrestleMania, he's going to either tap out Randy Orton to win the title again. I think that's unlikely. But I have a feeling he's going to go over Triple H. I think that's what it's all going to boil down to, that showdown between Daniel Bryan, Triple H, WrestleMania 30, where Daniel Bryan beats Triple H, and then you finally see maybe this authority storyline come to an end, and maybe Triple H finally give Daniel Bryan a nod of approval and say, hey, you're an A-plus guy. You got it, kid. And that's where I think they're heading. Because if you look back at the storyline, though, this is what I find perplexing, because I kind of went back and I went down the timeline. They started pushing Big Show in this almost immediately. Immediately, as soon as Daniel Bryan won that match at SummerSlam and Randy Orton screwed him, Big Show was starting to get the sympathy card played on him. And I have a feeling, just my suspicion, that this was the plan all along. They probably said, you know what, listen, we're going to keep the belt away from Bryan. We're going to keep the fans kind of like, you know, just dying for it, begging for it. And then we're going to pull back in it a little bit, kind of like that copies you were talking about earlier. And then what you're going to do is you're going to just bring it back out of nowhere where the fans aren't going to expect it. And he's still going to just keep having great matches. He's going to keep building momentum. But in the meantime, they still need to get the heels over. That's the number one thing they got to do. Randy Orton's been a babyface for years. Triple H's been a babyface for years. I think it was 06 when Triple H turned. And it was 2010 when Randy Orton turned. So you got to readjust your fan base. Not the IWC that gets it, not us. We get it when a guy turns heel. But those fans that go to the arena that maybe aren't diehard fans, the fans that turn it on USA Network and check it out, maybe didn't see the pay-per-view or maybe didn't see Raw last week and don't know what's going on. You have to tell those fans that these guys are your heels now and you need to boo them. So in order for that to happen, you have to have Randy Orton win that feud with Daniel Bryan. You have to have him defeat the Big Show. You have to have him beat whoever the fuck is next. You have to have him go into WrestleMania with the strap as the number one heel and drop it then. Same with Triple H. You have to have them keep winning, keep winning, keep winning. Of course, you give it to the babyface a little bit, give them a little bit of fire, but have them keep prevailing so they get over his heels. That's what it's all about. And then when you have that big match, WrestleMania 30, that's when you put a guy like Daniel Bryan over the top.
Tech, what do you think about Daniel Bryan?
I'm with Jay. I love Daniel Bryan. I was just joking around with a friend yesterday. He was like, oh, well, you know, WWE, you go to WWE, they change your name. And how creative is that? Well, you're Bryan Danielson. Let's just flip your name around and it'll be on it. I've been cool with it. I love Daniel Bryan since the Ring of Honor days. And this is the thing. And like Jay said, I work at a college campus in Baltimore. I'm around college students all the time. I hear the IWC get mad, talk like they know all the business. We're not wrestlers, but we work with the people. We're friends with the boys and people in the industry. It's all about money. It's all about the chase. Look back at Austin and McMahon. What made it so big? It was Austin chasing McMahon. Austin never really had the title much. A lot of times it was Austin trying to chase McMahon, trying to get the upper hand on McMahon, Austin getting upset. But he did. I like what he's doing with Bryan. Push him down. Make the fans, either you make the fans relate to him as they want to push him, or you get the baby face either to go after the belt for the chase, or you play the sympathy role. Now it's a sympathy role. Daniel Bryan was in the spotlight for a while. Cena came on in. They pushed him down. Now make the fans kind of forget about it a little bit because you don't want to overdo it. And now when Daniel Bryan comes back, now you got the fans behind it. And like Jay said, it makes sense. Have Daniel Bryan go against Triple H. Have Daniel Bryan submit Triple H back. Then Triple H can say, okay, you go in my respect. That's the best way to do it. They hate to say he's the best for business, but that's what it is. It has to be Daniel Bryan against Triple H. But I agree with them pushing him down. Let Daniel Bryan and CM Punk face the Wyatts and be your mid card for a couple of months. And then around the Rumble, start pushing Daniel Bryan against Triple H. It has to be done. Daniel Bryan isn't going to face Shawn Michaels. Well, let us see it, but I don't think that's going to happen. So I agree with that. I do. And yet, have we seen the WWE title main event Raw since John Cena's been injured the first time? So I think that's the
I've been hearing reports that Shawn Michaels is going to come out of retirement to fight Daniel Bryan, but you know, they say you never really retire in a wrestling business. You know, Shawn Michaels is a man of God now. So it would be nice if someone would keep their word. And, you know, when they say they retire for real. I'm not too sure, but I know they keep WWE is very, very pushy about trying to get one more match out of HBK or out of Stone Cold and what the deal is. I would personally prefer HBK to stay retired, but I mean, I'm a big fan of his ring-wise. But like Jay, I was a Bret Hart guy growing up.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I was definitely a Bret Hart guy. Bret Hart was more, he was more relatable, and he just wasn't flamboyant or a pretty boy. Bret was cool.
Oh, you
like
mean compared to Shawn Michaels?
Yeah. Like when Bret cut his promos, like, I don't know, maybe even though I was a kid and stuff, so maybe it's not just nostalgia, but when Bret Hart cut promos, like, he made me believe, like, wrestling was real. Like, he was so intense.
Yeah.
Michaels never did that for me. He was charismatic.
Bret Hart. The thing about Bret Hart, too, and his promos, is he's admitted that he has been a nervous wreck every time he's cut a promo in his career.
Right.
He's admitted this. He was never comfortable
right.
with the microphone, but he always came out with some kind of golden line. That was just so simple, so basic, but it got through
right.
to the fans at the time. And this is another thing, guys. You got to understand that Bret Hart was a believable champion. You could believe the way they built him up and the way he could wrestle, and he could beat anybody. I never saw that in Shawn Michaels personally. And do the fans see that in Daniel Bryan? They might not yet. There's
right.
always that. I love Daniel Bryan, too. Big fan. But are they going to the arena to chant yes, or are they going to see him kick Randy Orton's ass? That's another thing you got to think about. Bruce Pritchard brought up that same exact point on Steve Austin's show, and that stuck with me because it made so much sense. So
right.
I do think the time will come for Bryan, but it's just a marathon, not a sprint.
Right, and that's also a reason why Bret Hart being so nervous on the interviews why he wore his glasses all the time, too, because I think he said it on the interview also.
I've also read that Hulk Hogan decided to wear sunglasses when he turned heel because they thought that he had kind of baby face looking eyes. That makes sense.
Well, I mean, I guess so. I mean, that's a good point, because everybody knew Hogan back in the day. Hogan never wore glasses as a Hulkamaniac. So, like Jay said, and I say it's the little stuff, the King wearing a red tie. Notice when Hogan was the heel, Hollywood Hogan, he always wore the glasses, completely opposite to when he was Hulkamania in WCW and WWE. He never wore glasses. He always had the bandana. So, I mean, do you agree with that, Jay?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about that kind of setting the tone. Now, look, you could talk about it with a million wrestlers in the past, you know. Back in the day, if you turned a guy heel, you threw some sunglasses on him, and there you had black tights, and he's a heel. That's it. That's that simple. So it's something like that that is a subtle little thing about a wrestler where it could change their entire dynamic and the way the crowd perceives it.
Right, and, yeah, I mean, that's true. He's always black. And or you could do the Rick Martel, the reverse psychology, where you have the Rick Martel, Damian Sandow, where you have the heel wear flamboyant colors to make fans hate you. But
exactly.
All right, guys, we're running low on time, so I'm just going to go ahead and end things in. We apologize again, fans, for the absence of Hurricane Helms. We'll try to get him on a future episode. Again, check out PWS, ProWrestlingSyndicate.com, and they got a big show, a great deal. Let me make sure I pronounced that correctly. Wrestle Bowl. My bad. I'm really tired. The Wrestle Bowl. It's going to be Saturday, November 16th. Have a lot of guys there. You're going to have the Insane Clown Posse. That's the name, right? The Insane Clown Posse. I didn't pronounce it right.
Yes.
Yeah, come on. You remember the ICP, man. They used to run around.
Yeah, I remember them. I remember them.
WCW. Yeah.
Yeah. Those guys are crazy. I mostly remember them in South Park. But, yeah, the BWO is going to be there. The Untouchables. Going to be there. Chris Hero is going to be there. Hurricane Helms is going to be there. Vader is going to be there. We interviewed him earlier. Check it out. Shout outs to David Abrams, who was here. David Adams was here earlier, and he just cut that crazy promo just explaining everything about PWS and what makes it different. Thank you again, Vader, for letting us interview you. Sorry for botching that up, Jay. And we'll be back next week. What you got planned for next week, Jay? Anything special?
We got a very special show. We will have the notorious 187 Homicide joining us live on the line for an interview next week. We'll be talking about what he's been doing. It'll be a sweet interview, but we'll talk about what's going on with his career right now, some Funny Road stories, stuff like that. And also, before we end the show, I wanted to say that today is the birthday of the late Trent Acid, who was an independent wrestling mainstay here on the East Coast for a long time. He had his demons, he had his problems, but he passed away a few years ago. He would have been 33 years old, so happy birthday, you know, to Trent Acid. The guy, I don't know if you ever seen him work tope, but he was damn talented back in the day. So rest in peace, Trent Acid.
Yeah, I've seen his work. All right, guys, thanks for calling in. We'll have things back to normal next week on PWP. So we see you guys next week. Thanks again for calling in. Thanks for calling, Jay. Thanks for calling again, Tech. You can be a regular member if you want to. We can, like, do a joint enrollment deal or something.
No problem, guys. Like I said, Tuesdays are normally free. It's only official day off from everything. So y'all need my help anytime, just let me know. Jay and Toasters, let me know. Y'all need me to send me a shout-out.
All right. Thanks again, man. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Okay.
Peace.
All right, peace.